in with it. What can you do? It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Another element of the Geek Watch added. That'll be coming up later on. So I believe that makes it, I don't know, double, triple, quadruple, something. Huge Geek Watch. That's coming up. Brittany Watch on the way. A truly horrifying penis watch. I mean, and I know that there's some stiff competition there for the, you know. What? Oh, no. No. I was just saying that there's... I'm going to skip the monkey watch sound right now. 503-733-2970 for the... Look, there have been many penis watches, which are unnerving, terrifying, cross-leg-inducing. This one's especially so. So we'll get to that later on. 503-733-2970. We'll also do the tabloid recap. Bottom of the hour, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. I'll be here. We'll do the top five songs from this week in 1980. Intern Scotty J has another Man on the Street segment we'll get to. And all of that. This is, let's see. Okay. Here's, just so you know, here's some of the emails I get during the program. Subject line, Rick, you're the man. Lisa totally has it for you. Bring her to Oregon and lay it down Portland style. That's Mike in Portland. Rick, seeing as how you have a movie critic that doesn't preview movies come in, do you have any room for an author that doesn't write? I'd love to come and hang out. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. He called me last night. Remember I was that thing about how somebody, when the phone rings after midnight, it's always somebody dead or somebody who needs bailing out of jail. When somebody who is a guest on the program calls you at 10 o'clock the previous night, it's always to cancel. It's never to say, I got something new and exciting. It's never to say, hey, I've been brushing up. I've been seeing lots of movies. I know that I've been slacking and I haven't actually reviewed a film in almost 2 years. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to make sure that I put my nose to the grindstone, my shoulder to the wheel, grab this crazy world by the tail and do some work. No. It's always to say, look, man, I'm not going to be in. So that's what happened with Scott Daly last night. But I do believe we will have him on via the telephone later on. And we still got to go to the city desk because there's like half the crap we were supposed to do we haven't done. So we'll get to all of that. It's 503-733-2970. Okay. I'll read a couple more Superman. See, here's the thing. And then I will get this call. And then we will do more Superman discussion. Then we will have the news. See, you have your microphone off so people can't hear you say these things sometimes. Like, they can't see you saying, oh, Christ, under your breath every time I mention Superman. I'm not saying that you ought to have the same movie taste that everybody else does. Nor am I saying, look, men and women are different.
Maybe it's not even a men and women thing. Maybe it's like, just the idea of seeing a Superman movie just doesn't appeal to me.
Superman is the...
And I see a lot, like, I really like Sin City. I like seeing movies based on comic books.
See, because that's the thing. See, this is the Holy Grail, and Aaron could tell you more about this. But there is...
Please don't.
I think in the geek world, the world of geeks, there are these sort of Holy Grails. And, like, for instance, hot chick who also games. You know, like, you find a hot chick that throws the multi-sided dice, plays the video game, does whatever. I mean, you find a girl like that, first of all, you lock her in a small cage somewhere so that no other men can ever know that she exists because they will steal her from you. They will come and they will raid your village with broadswords. And they will... and plus ten thieving power. I'm just saying, it seems like... I'm just curious about this phenomenon of sort of geek movies that also cross over and appeal to women, because it seems like you were all about the Labyrinth love.
Yeah, like Labyrinth and, are we talking about like just comic book movies or geek movies in general? Like Neverending Story?
Labyrinth is a geek film. Like, mm-hmm. I think comic book movies are geek movies, but I don't think every geek movie is a, I don't even know what a geek movie really is, first of all. This has become a whole J. Evans Pritchard what is poetry thing, but I don't really even know what a geek movie is now that we're talking about it. I mean, obviously there's certain elements, like anything that takes place in space.
I think anything that has any creatures made by Jim Henson.
All right, I'm just going to go with it. You know, as they say on Wall Street, and as my good friend Brian Jennings used to tell me, you just can't fight the tape. Some days the calls, the comments, and the emails, and the general gestalt just going a certain way. So we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines here. It's 503. We've got one line available. It's 503-733-2970. At the risk of just sounding like some bad sci-fi variation on Jeff Foxworthy, I just don't... It is an interesting concept. You know you are watching a geek movie when... when the lead character has strings attached and says creature shop on the side. I guess that's how you know. And look at the phones. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Listen to this. Okay, you hate Weasel. And this is the subject line of this email, by the way, is Superman versus Batman. Sure, Batman has a bitchin' costume while Superman looks like he's in colored long johns, but consider the function versus form here. Superman wears his costume under his clothing because he's ready to fight crime at a moment's notice.
And come on, Superman wins. He can fly.
It's true. While Batman has to run home and change clothes before he can go out to play with the other superheroes. By the time he's finished putting on his rubber mask, boots, gauntlets, and eyeliner, Superman has already saved the day and is back in nailing Lois Lane in the Fortress of Solitude. Batman, on the other hand, is the quintessential computer nerd. Wears all black, builds computers all day, wastes his money on electronic gadgets. He's late all the time and he never goes on dates with girls. So there, sighed Steve.
Until he does wear the black eyeliner around his eyes.
Batman, see, but look here. I cannot believe that I'm about just to jump off this cliff. But everybody knows that Batman is cooler than Superman. Everyone knows. It is not, as Leonard Cohen would say, everybody knows. It is understood. It's not even up for debate. Now, I'm not saying he is the quintessential superhero.
Is it because of the car?
No, it's be... Do you really care, or are you just prodding me? Are you just poking me?
Well, I was just asking.
Do you really want to know why Batman is cooler than Superman?
We have another 2 hours and 50 minutes to go. Another hour and 50 minutes.
That's
go
the
ahead.
Spirit. That's the spirit. That's what creates quality radio right there. We got all this time to kill, and... I have to go to lunch, but that's not till 3:15. Sure, whatever. That's where all of the best ideas come from, is when you've got time to kill and you're being paid to do it.
I am actually interested because you are kind of worked up about this. Like, you're getting kind of red-faced and freaky about it. So I do want to know.
Okay. Here, in my estimation, and again, and I say this for Tim's benefit because every time it sounds like I'm dogging on Superman, Tim looks as though he wants to come over and sever my jugular. So I got to say, for the record, I acknowledge that Superman is the definitive superhero. He is the superhero upon which all others are modeled and based. He, again, is the ultimate archetype. If you were to send a probe into space to demonstrate all facets of Earth culture and you wanted to talk about American or just superheroes in general as a concept, you would send Superman. I do acknowledge that. Superman also functions as a great Christ allegory. I can go on and on about this, and I won't, but I will say that Superman has many layers of psychological and philosophical meaning to him, and all of that. That having been said, Batman is a cooler superhero because he has no superpowers. Because it's easy to fight crime and to be brave when you are impervious. When you are bulletproof, when you can fly, when you have laser vision, when you can turn the Earth backwards and reverse the flow of time, as in Superman 2, it's easy to go out there and put your life on the line because you're not really putting your life on the line. The only thing that can kill Superman, I believe, is gold kryptonite, which I'm pretty sure it permanently removes his powers. You know, Batman, though, has no superpowers, no special abilities. He has a finely tuned sense of gymnastics and a flawless knowledge, a matchless knowledge of the city. And he is wealthy. But at the same time, Bruce Wayne has no special abilities. He can't fly. He can't do anything except what you and I could do if we really put our mind to it and had the limitless financial resources he does. That's why that Batman is a better superhero. Some people will say that Batman is not a superhero, that he is, in fact, just a vigilante, but I believe that these are pointless distinctions. Are you glad you asked? Best day ever!
I hadn't really thought about it. No, that's a good point, though.
You don't care.
I do!
Okay.
Can you at least let me pretend that I do?
Maria, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Rick. Hello?
Hello, hi, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to let you know some of us women actually get our manicures and pedicures while listening to the Rick Emerson Show.
Is that happening right now?
As we speak.
Which are you getting, manicure or pedicure?
Well, I just when you're going on your initial rant, I was getting a pedicure, but now I'm getting my nails done.
I actually took so long to explain the difference between Superman and Batman. They've moved onto a whole separate part of your body.
Yep. So, after all, you know, Rick Emerson's not just for the nail geeks, it's for the women that love them.
Fantasy. That's going to be our new positioning statement. That's going to be our new slogan. Radio for geeks and the women who love them. So, there you go. Thank you, Maria. Are you spreading the word about the show, Maria?
Absolutely, to everyone in the salon, apparently.
Where are you getting your nails done?
At Bell Nails in Johnson Creek.
What is this? Is this retaliation for the Batman commentary?
Yes,
you can sit and talk about nails. No, go ahead. Have a nail discussion. I'll sit back and finish this coffee. Go ahead.
I need to get mine done. Are you getting a manicure or are you getting acrylics?
Well, I'm getting my nails filled right now.
Oh, cool. I just had mine taken off. They're really weird now.
Is that enough? Are we done? All right. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that thing where you get the little trashy diamels put in there or something, are you?
No, but I got cute little flowers on my toes.
Okay. Maria, thank you. You continue to spread the word, sister. You call us anytime.
Absolutely right.
Thank you, Maria. All right, there you go. All right. All the geeks are going to yell at me for not asking what she looked like because she said that she, you know, loves geeks. But, it's just, it's only so many hours in the day. I got to, whatever. It's 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show. Scott, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I think you're completely way off base. Spider-Man is the quintessential superhero.
And why?
Spider-Man is the quintessential superhero because he's got to make rent and bust bad guys.
Okay, fair enough. One could argue that he is a more representative superhero of the common man than Superman because, again, Superman doesn't have to. I mean, he holds down a day job, but he doesn't really have to. It seems like that's just to preserve his cover, whereas Spider-Man, as noted in the second Spider-Man film, he does have many of the same problems that plague everyday citizens.
But what you were talking about, you're watching a geek movie when...
Yes.
You're watching a geek movie when something pops out of somebody else's stomach and starts having a bad attitude.
No, it's true. Or any time, and this is true... This is any time we are asking the musical question, how do you know you're watching a geek film? You know you are watching a geek movie when? It's 503-733-2970. I would say when anybody is holding a flamethrower, ever. You have never seen a movie in which somebody was holding and using a flamethrower that was not a geek film. You know it to be true. Search your feelings.
I think anything in some kind of mystical land.
anything. Oh, yeah. And anything that has a voiceover narration drenched in reverb.
Yes.
Because it's always a lot of, because those are always movies with titles like Merlin's Magical Shop of Wonders. And then it's like a lot of, in a faraway land. There you go. That's all you have to know. Those syllables right there, they tip the whole thing. Let's go to line four. Talk to our good friend Michael Chase joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
What's up, brother man?
Sarah, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Tim?
Hi, Mike, how are you?
Good. Hey, I'm glad to hear you guys back on the radio. Your show sounds great.
Thank you. Let's all hug.
Yeah. Mike, remember that thing you gave me a couple years ago that David Mamet wrote about Superman and, this whole, there's a nice little piece that he written about why Superman's all kind of schizoid inside and what's really wrong with the guy?
Yeah, there's a collection of essays by David Mamet, author of Glengarry Glen Ross and so forth, called Some Freaks, and it has a 4 or 5 page essay about Superman, which is the best piece of sort of writing about that genre that I've ever seen anywhere. Yeah.
Right, it's great. So that's what I'm calling, because I wanted to point out something about Batman and Superman. Batman, like you say, is the quintessential, he's the popular guy on campus, he's the big man on campus and all that. But Batman, and I think you may have just missed one little point about why he's a better superhero, is because he's crazy. And that's what makes him extra powerful, I think, is because he's willing to do things that other people wouldn't do. Like, he doesn't have rationality in his way. So he's super crazy, and he'll do stupid things that put him in a position to do things that other people couldn't do. Where all the other stuff like the wealth and the training come into play.
It's true, and Batman, much more so than Superman, is driven by emotion.
He's much more of a freak than Superman. He's with the big Boy Scout dude and all that. But Batman is the guy that sits, like, it's like high school. Like if you're walking in the lunchroom, Batman's the guy that wears the long black trench coat and he's got the headphones on. He's not really talking to anybody. And
he's the
end of the table.
He's the Dylan Klebold of superheroes.
Yeah, that's exactly who he is, exactly. So, and that gives him an edge, I think, and it's very powerful. And I'll ask you this one question.
Yes.
How do you define a geek? Like, you keep using the word geek, but I really don't even know what a geek is because, I probably don't look like a typical geek, but I dressed up like a superhero at 10 years old. I made my own superhero suit and you know, I don't know why I'm really saying that on the radio, but, it's true, and yet you look at me, I probably don't look like your typical geek, even if I could say what that is. So what is a geek?
I don't know. See, now that, we're entering like full on master's thesis, territory here. I just don't even, look, to the surprise of no one, over many, many, many long cups of coffee at like Sherry's at 2 a.m, my friends and I, even in high school, we're starting.
We've talked about this before, the separation between geek, nerd, and dork.
Yeah, we have talked about nerd, geek, and dork, and we started talking about that kind of years ago, and then Sarah and I have had long conversations about that, about nerds, geeks, and dorks, and what makes the, and I would say this, I don't know about dork. I think dork is its own category. But I would say for me, and I'm just saying for me now, the difference between nerd and geek is that geeks have, at least within their own sort of finite and narrowly defined social structure, a sort of coolness or social skill about them. They have a sort of style and a panache, even if it only really works within their own social group. Nerds are completely without social skills, even among their peers.
I see. So there's no hierarchy among the nerds. They're all at the same low level. There's no nerd king.
There may be, but I think that's purely in terms of like a skill, like purely in terms of like coding ability, you know, software, something like that. But I'm saying, like, you never, like, nerds have, they don't have any, they have no real, in my opinion, I'm saying a nerd doesn't really have any sort of sense of social style or swing. There's no sizzle to them at all. Whereas geeks, you see them in their environment among fellow geeks, and they do have kind of they can be funny, they can be charming, they can be stylish, they can be whatever.
But if they could be all that, then what is the one thing? What's the common denominator of all geeks?
Oh, God, I don't know. I feel like I've entered this sort of etymological swamp where there's just no way out of this.
All right. Well, good to talk to you. I appreciate your radio show, and I have a point about Batman, and rock on my radio brothers.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, there you go.
I wanted to ask him about his Vonage commercial, and then you hung up.
He's on? Oh, now he's gone. Oh. No, I'm sorry.
So I see him every morning on that Vonage thing.
Boy, can you just believe how far we've gone into this jungle today?
Well, here's something to think about. This is from the A&E section of the Oregonian. After watching Spider-Man swing through the city on a CGI web and the freakish travails of the X-Men, there's something quaint about watching Superman fly and deflect bullets in the trailer of the latest blockbuster superhero picture. Flying and wearing a cape, what is this, a period piece? The inherent wholesomeness of Superman is at odds with today's superheroes who are inclined to shoot hostages to speed negotiations. That's a far cry from the Man of Steel spinning the earth backward to save Lois Lane. Superman is such a deeply entrenched cultural touchstone, and the character could easily be added to the list of mom, baseball, and apple pie.
It is true, and that's the thing. It makes me sound like a jerk to dog on Superman, and so I don't mean to do that, but again, I do believe that it is... He is, by his very nature, he looks sort of dated. It is sort of, and correct me if I'm wrong, now I don't know anything, but then the Superman Returns, is that set in the modern era or is it set in the past? I don't even know.
It doesn't say here.
So, because if they set that in the past, then I think it almost works. He is sort of inescapably retro, I believe.
The Daily Planet looks very Art Deco.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
Oh, I hope so. I hope it's good. Let's see. Chris about flamethrowers. Chris, it's the best show ever. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, nice to see you back on the air. I had the dial tuned in from Hendry the other night and turned it on today and was pleasantly surprised.
Thank you.
I'm going back to like 99 with you, so I've listened to you off and on. So congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
The Flamethrower Reset, a movie that perhaps may not be in the geekdom category that does highlight a flamethrower scene might be Lethal Weapon 4.
Maybe, and somebody else mentioned Rushmore. Rushmore has a flamethrower sequence towards the end when Max Fisher's doing the Heaven and Hell. Lethal Weapon 4, those movies are such mainstream broad appeal movies that they might not be. But I guess
dude in the flamethrower suit with the fire song is probably a geek.
And I just gotta say though, but the fact that you had that like in your, that you were able to call up and you have such an encyclopedic knowledge of the Lethal Weapon films that you were able to call up and reference that in turn does make you, regardless of the film genre, that does make you a geek, my friend.
Oh man. Well, see, I always knew that my fascination with your pop culture knowledge probably led me in the geek territory.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, my friend. Embrace it and run with it.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Chris. There you go. That's Chris. All right, I'm reading this right off the screen. Men on stilts in clown suits are in Portland right now. I know we're running late because we're going to have Ed McCarthy here, but I have to take this. And then we'll break. We'll come back with Ron. Let's see, what line? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. This is Kara.
Hey, Kara. How are you, sister?
There is a freakish display of like, heroin addicts looking men on stilts and chicks in skimpy little bizarre clown-like things performing up on the hospital hill.
So up at the hill, there's
terrifying.
Men in clown suits on stilts.
Well, they're kind of dressed like drug addicts.
Why are they?
The women are more kind of clownish.
What are they doing and why are they doing it?
They are dancing around on stilts and twirling batons and playing instruments. The VA hospital was just awarded this big deal status that like 200 hospitals in the nation were given.
Yeah.
And so the administration thought that there should be a celebration, and they hired crazy people on stilts and clown outfits.
I was just going to say, they know they're not in Eugene, right?
I think so. It's horrible. I will take pictures and I will send them to you.
Please do. God bless you, Kara. All right, thank you.
See you later, babe.
All right, there you go. That's a good friend, Kara. All right. I want to note, by the way, we'll talk about it when we get back. Let's break now. We're so hopelessly behind. Ed McCarthy's going to talk about the Da Vinci Code, speaking of films. We've just been in this whole discussion about geek films, what makes a geek film, Batman versus Superman. It's just a whole ball of never getting laid. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Anybody walk by the engineering office today? Did you hear the song that's playing? So one of the engineers, who is similar to but legally distinct from Will, it's some sort of a social experiment that's being conducted inside the engineering office, where he's found this song and he's just playing it at full volume on his computer, and he's actually locked his computer so that it can't be altered or turned off or adjusted in any way. Can you turn my computer up for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what's coming. If you walk by the engineering office here, you have a...
Oh my God.
So this has been playing in the engineering office at top volume since 8:30 this morning. Now the great thing is that Ryan and Sean and some of the other guys have to work in there. They can't work anywhere else. All their equipment's in there. All of their computers are there. Everything they need to patch together is in there. All of their files are in there. He's locked the computer. It can't be stopped.
It's snappy.
It's been playing for 5 hours.
But it's kind of catchy after a while.
You will never get it out of your head. It's like a tapeworm. Alright, so there you go. We'll check in later on. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Wait, we'll just make this live. Wait, hold on. From CNN Atlanta, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
Love it. I love that music.
Okay, yeah, give it an hour or so.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't love it then.
Be reaching for a gun. How are you, sir? How's life in the glorious South? Yeah, you have had quite a week. Quite a couple weeks, actually. First, there was the Minutemen, and then there was... they found Jimmy Hoffa's body yet?
Not yet. A couple of weeks, they said.
All right.
It's going to take a couple of weeks.
Is that just because they're scouring the entire orchard or whatever it is?
It's a big horse farm, apparently, so they're working on it.
And so, do they... the CNN... everybody who works for CNN, they've got one of two jobs today. Their job is either speaking to nitwits who are angry about the Da Vinci Code, or talking to nitwits who lined up last night at midnight to watch it. Which camp do you fall into, Ed McCarthy?
The nitwit that watched it at 7:30 last night.
7:30. And so, big thumbs up, big thumbs down, somewhere in the middle?
You know, these guys, the critics, of course, they're always really rough. And I saw a guy on WGN in Chicago today who really panned it, too. But I enjoyed it. I thought it moved along. I thought it was a fast pace and a lot of action in it. And, you know, you're going to blur it all with, you know, fiction, fact, and faith. And, the, you know, these religious outfits, some of them are getting upset over it. But as far as I'm concerned, I thought it was a darn good movie. I mean, you know it's fiction from the start. You watch it, and I really thought it was a good movie.
And see, and I don't, you know, my whole thing is I don't care about the controversy or any of that. It's just all I care about is whether it's going to be worth my $9 or whatever it costs now to, you know, in 2.5 hours of my life.
It's worth your $9.
All right, well, I just got, and I heard what I was told is that Ian McKellen alone is he's worth the price of admission.
Oh, unbelievable! And there's this one scene where a nun gets knocked down in the church. And I thought, well, I went to a Catholic school for 9 years, and it was $9 by itself.
It's sort of a wish fulfillment years and years later. Were there any protests or picketers or other knuckleheads out there?
None whatsoever. In fact, this was by invitation only last evening, and the crowd that saw the movie really enjoyed it. One woman told me she thought it was boring, but most of them thought it went along the lines of the book. And was really enjoyable.
Yeah, because you know the people at Cannes are is sort of pretentious nitwits anyway, though. So you know,
is that because it was filmed in France and Paris?
Yeah, I don't know. And you know, look, I mean, talk about the Cannes Film Festival. You're talking about a group of people that gave a 30-minute standing ovation or whatever to Fahrenheit 9/11. So it's not like they necessarily know what they're doing all the time, you know?
Exactly, so, exactly. Well. And you know, for the people that go out that aren't the big film critics, maybe they don't see a lot of movies a year, but they hear about a big one like this, they go out and see it, grab the popcorn, and, you know, go in and watch the movie. It's enjoyable. I mean, it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. You know, and Tom Hanks, one of the big criticisms they're saying, Hanks didn't really mesh with the co-star. Well, you know, I thought he did. You know, so, I mean, am I nuts or what? I liked it.
Let me ask you this. Is Tom Hanks' hair distracting?
No.
Okay.
No, it isn't. But he was I saw him on a TV show today, and they're asking about it. And he said, you know, he says you don't get haircuts when you do these movies. He says your next haircut is your next movie.
Yeah.
And they're free. He says I don't pay for a haircut, so I'm waiting out for an offer.
Fantastic. Enjoy your weekend, my friend. We'll hold on with it. There we go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Thank you, sir.
I get a copy of that.
I'll send it to you.
All right.
There you go. Bye. All right. There you go.
I'm actually really starting to like it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would make one of us. You walk by Ryan. It looks like he's about to cry. And Sean looks like he's going to be looking for a razor. I swear to God, you go to the webpage where this is playing. Scotty J is emailing me saying, try sitting by it for an hour like it. Would you like to see the video that goes along with this?
That video makes me want to kill myself.
I'm looking at the. This is playing off. This is a Shockwave page. This is a web page. It's a Japanimation animation. You know what I'm talking about. It's a little 4-frame Japanimation of, I swear to God, an Asian girl twirling a leek.
And her mouth is just opening and closing.
It's only 4 frames, repeating over and over again.
Oh, that's awful.
It's mesmerizing.
Thank you. Sean just brought us a box of razor blades. Thank you.
Industrial strength.
I think we could kill people with this if we played it long enough. This should be the Tim Riley Factor's next song.
Are you going to be doing the female part?
Yes. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's talk to Ron. Ron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Rick, you've got to post the link to that song on your site.
All right, I'll put it up later today.
And it's great to have you on the air, but you're going to get me fired because I have to take a 3-hour lunch every day now.
Nah, that's okay.
There are plenty of jobs out there.
It's okay, yeah. You know, there's a guy out there paying $10 an hour for yard work, apparently, so we'll hook you up.
Cool. Sarah, hi, Sarah.
Hello. Do you like the song? I like the song.
Yeah, this song kind of worms its way into your brain. How? What's up, Ron? What can I do for you?
Okay, so I think I agree with you with Batman being cooler than Superman.
Uh-huh.
You have to factor in the Adam West Batman.
Well, the Adam West Batman sort of exists in its own universe to me. It's sort of its own thing. You know what I mean? He is the sometimes why of this equation, because you got to look at all the other Batmans in the film, and then the comic book Batman, and you know, there's that the Batman animated series, which is very good. But then you think about Adam West, and he is the one who is not like any of the others. I think, to my knowledge anyway, he's the only one that was playing it purely for kitsch value. So it's different. I mean, it's you know.
It was also played at that time to sell color televisions, which were rare.
Is that true?
That was one of the first color television series for ABC.
Yeah, it's just it's sort of not like the others. It'd be like having Leslie Nielsen play Superman. It's just, it has to be viewed, I think, on its own terms. Let me ask you this. For your money, who is the best recent Batman, sir?
Oh, definitely Keaton.
See, and people say, see, I gotta say I like Val Kilmer, and I say that, and people start see that's what I'm saying. People start cleaning the gun. People start saying they want to come and kill me. And I, first of all, you got to admit that. I'm sorry. You got to admit that Kilmer made a great Bruce Wayne. Okay, fine. You don't have to admit it. All right. All right. Hey, are you? The question, Ron, is: are you spreading the word?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much. And I'll put the link to this up on the page later.
Perfect.
Later, sir. All right. There you go. Will from engineering.
I love this.
Yeah. Will wants me to know. This is a note. Reading this now verbatim. In huge letters on a piece of graphing paper, it says, aliens, the Marines have some cool flamethrowers. They do indeed. And I believe there's some slow motion flame throwing in that film too, so. We gotta go to the city desk, don't we?
Nobody's complaining.
Okay.
Can this just be the sounder?
Sure. No. Okay. Well,
it doesn't matter.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Let's make it like we're gonna. And now, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk news beat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, the Iraqis are getting their 100th new government starting tomorrow, as new elected officials are sworn in. At the same time, it's important to note that people of Iraq don't hate everything American. As a matter of fact, they're all big Lionel Richie fans. Grown Iraqi men get misty-eyed at the mere mention of his name. I love Lionel Richie, they say. Iraqis do not understand a word of English, but they can sing an entire Lionel Richie song. Asked why he's so popular, well, he answers, I am huge in the Arab world.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention to anything, and then I came in about 4 seconds ago, and you were talking about Lionel Richie being loved where?
In Iraq.
I don't understand.
He can't figure it out either, but people who can't
speak. Because they don't have anything else to listen to? Is this like...
Well, listen to this. Richie said, he was told Iraqis were playing all night long on the streets the night the U.S. tanks rolled into the country in 2003.
That's not good.
That sounds like a joke.
You don't want your new... That's not when you want your big hit song playing as tanks are rolling over demonstrators and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We're huge in Iraq as they are crushing dissent. We're huge with oppressive totalitarian regimes. Okay, is this like when you say that Lionel Richie is big in Iraq? Is it like that's the only thing they can find there? Is this like when you are driving across country on a road trip and you you forget your cassette collection or something and you stop at a gas station or a truck stop and you buy yourself a corn dog and then one of those big things of JoJo's and then also a super big gulp and then there's that rotating carousel of cassettes up by the front and it's always like Johnny Paycheck hits and super gold sounds of the 60s? And so you buy it, and you don't really care about super gold hits of the 70s, but you listen to it over and over because it's the only cassette you've got. Is that what this is like?
No, this isn't the same thing.
It's different.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I missed the song.
Well, I can't play that and sound at the same time. That's the problem. So do we have sound coming up here?
For this? No, we don't.
Oh, well, then I'll just let this. Okay, there you go.
Are we going to that?
Well, I think we're going to do the religious nutcase.
No penis?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that sooner or later, too. Okay. But this is a bit out of order for some reason. Nothing matters at this point. So we will do the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show. I love this theme. This watch theme is so good.
It is indeed.
Whoever knew that I would really be praising Stryper in this way? It's fantastic.
Well, human rights groups are raising alarm over a new law passed by the Iranian parliament, which would require the country's Jews and Christians to wear colored badges to identify them and other religious minorities as non-Muslims. This is reminiscent of the Holocaust, said Rabbi Hayer. The dean of the Center in Los Angeles, Iran is moving closer and closer to the ideology of Nazis, it seems. Iranian expatriates living in Canada yesterday confirmed reports that the Iranian parliament, called the Islamic Mohujis, passed a law this week seeking a dress code for all Iranians, requiring them to wear almost identical standard Islamic garments. See, kind of like the Mormons.
Now, here's the thing. Tim, we were talking about this morning, and Tim, you asked, we were talking about the story, and Tim's raised the idea that this story might actually be propaganda put out, presumably, by the West to prejudice against, as though this needs to be, we need to be further prejudiced against Iran. But Tim raised the idea that this might be some sort of propaganda story planted by the West, not the BL conspiracy about it, but it is a known thing, the government does it, to sort of make us more predisposed to accept a war against Iran. And here's,
because the weapons of mass destruction really aren't doing anything for them.
here it's another one of those things where there is no good guy here, because on the one hand, I could completely believe that the United States is planting us this story to make us predisposed to want war against Iran. On the other hand, clearly the Iranian government is run by fundamentalist nutcases. Look, as I wrote this long essay for the website while we were off the air, and I never did post it because, and I know this makes me sound like a chicken, but it just seemed a little too, it was just a little too harsh, and I didn't post it because it was just too serious and too heavy and whatever, but it was a whole thing about rednecks. And you know what? There's rednecks in all different kinds of the places, and there's rednecks in all different parts of the world. And you know what? You don't have to be white and from the South to be a redneck. You know what I mean? So you see those idiots over in Afghanistan where they're making the women dress up and, like, you know, they got the whole head to toe and the burqa and they got the whole Handmaid's Tale outfit on. You know who does that? Rednecks. So I don't care whether you are white or whether you are brown, whether you are in Iran or whether you are in Atlanta. Anytime that you're doing things, anytime you pass laws because you're terrified of women and you're terrified of gay people and you're terrified of sex, you're terrified of Jews and Christians, anytime you're doing anything like that, you are a redneck. I don't care what language you speak or what you look like. So on the one hand, I can completely understand that the West would plant this story. On the other hand, Iran is clearly filled with religious idiots. And so I honestly have no idea whether the story is true or not. I mean, I guess we'll find out. I mean, right? That is the sort of thing that we will see.
We will find out.
And it's not like Iran is necessarily known for their tolerance of people of the Jewish faith anyway. So, all right. So there you go. There's your, are we done with that?
Yes, we are.
There's your religious nutcase watch. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Okay, here's something new to be afraid of. Be on the lookout for guns disguised as cell phones.
Oh, this is old news. I heard about this like a year and a half ago.
Well, this is a brand new story today.
All right.
They're difficult to spot in metal detectors. The report said the cell phone gun is a working .22 caliber pistol capable of firing off 4 rounds at the touch of a button, probably a 6. The hidden guns are made from a high grade of plastic, which makes it difficult to spot in metal detectors. They're being manufactured by people who have the equipment and knowledge to produce them. New York NYPD officers are also being told to be on the lookout for these custom-made guns. In an internal memo, it warns this gun is very difficult to detect visually, but once handled, it'll feel heavier than a real cell phone. Cell guns are considered illegal to possess because they're not made by a licensed gun manufacturer.
Here's the thing about this. Not this. But this story. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. You know the great thing about cell phones, and I'm another guy who uses that phrase a lot, because I'm like you. As soon as some idiot woman in front of me, and I hate to say this, but it is always a woman. Whenever I'm at the theater, I don't know whether it's a guy. This might be the geek movie thing again. Maybe it's the kind of movies I go to. But when I go to a movie and I hear someone open the cell phone and they start to talk, it is always an idiot 16-year-old girl. I don't know why. I don't know why that is. It's always talking to somebody else about what they're going to do after the film. But I'm like you. I want to take a brick to the back of their head. But the thing about it is that, did you notice that like, you used to, you go to a concert or a show or something, they would totally frisk you and pat you down. You couldn't take cameras into a show. You couldn't obviously take anything to record audio into a show. But because of cell phones, did you notice that now, Like, there was no interim period. It's like 1 minute they patted you down and you couldn't take anything inside that took photos or audio. Now, it's fine. Every show you go to now, it's just a whole sea of cell phones being holed up in your hands. You know what that is right there? That's a little bit of the power of the people. When everybody just decided to do something at once and they were powerless to stop it. It is kind of a little, people don't really appreciate that, but that is a little bit of a mini revolution right there. Because how many times you go to a concert and some minimum wage with a gun is patting you down and telling you what you can and can't take inside? You'd have like a little disposable camera. I'm old enough that I remember going to concerts and there was a big bag and they would take your camera and throw it in the bag and you would never get it back. They would just take that away from you. Much less anything that could record sound, they would throw it away. And then one day, everybody just said, we're all taking our cell phones to the concert at once. And now they do. They let you in. They don't take them away. They don't stop you because they know that this is a demonstration in the power of it's all of that V for Vendetta stuff. It's the power of the people. That if everybody just decides to do something at once, they cannot stop you from doing it. And the cell phones at concerts are the proof of that. So if this country ever gets its crap together and everybody decides to act with unanimity, the man can't keep you down. Just so you know.
That makes us all feel a little bit better.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the big broadcasters are puzzled about their cool digital plans, but they haven't been telling their advertisers how DVDs are hurting them. Media buyers are being entertained, wined, and dined at fabulous locales like Radio City Music Hall, Lincoln Center, and Tavern on the Green in New York as the big TV convention is underway. Heading into this week's discussions, many industry leaders are predicting that the top networks will fall short of the $9.1 billion in commercial time they sold during the 2005 year. Why is that? Well, it's because of recording devices. Even though ratings tracker Nielsen Media Research now has separate rankings for so-called time-shifted viewing of shows.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
DVRs and TiVos. Mm-hmm. They're trying to decide how much money they're going to lose.
Who?
All right, doesn't matter. Let's move along to something else.
I'm sorry. There was something about Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
And then there was something about something else.
Lionel Richie is performing there this week.
All right.
For the Iranian expats who happen to be in town.
All right.
So that's that.
I bet sometimes it's just frustrating to be Tim stuck in here with us. He's just trying to report the news and we can't turn off this damn song.
You know what this song reminds me of? It reminds me of that Ricky Tiki Tembo, No Sai Rembo, Harry Ari Uchigo, Hitberry Pembo, or whatever that book is. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Ricky Tiki Tembo?
Yeah, Ricky Tiki Tembo, No Sai Rembo, something Ari Uchigo, Hitberry Embo.
No.
Tim thinks we're all high. Tim's, I'm stuck in the room with crazy people. They've gone. It's a children's book about two brothers, two Asian brothers.
I never read children's books.
And it's...
Okay. They're for kids. They're very childish.
Just born a 40-year-old newsman. That is what makes you great, though. Let's do one more, and then we'll break.
One more what?
One more story from the city desk.
Oh, okay.
Well, it can be a watch. It can be a whatever. I don't care. You have carte blanche.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can find here. That might be appropriate.
It's okay. We'll just let this play while you're looking.
Okay. Well, the Georgia woman known as the runaway bride is unattached again, Jennifer Willibank.
She has no eyelids.
Has broken up with a man she was to marry once before she had that famous 11th hour change of mind. She's 33, by the way. She recently split with fiancé John Mason. And she has a new job as a receptionist in an Atlanta medical office. The couple were scheduled to marry April 30th, 2005, and planned a lavish wedding.
Now, 600. This is one of those stories that happened while we were off the air. We were not on the air to talk about the runaway bride, but let's talk about a couple of things. A, she's got a nice body, but a hideous face. B, she has no eyelids. I mean, she's got, what is that? Graves?
She's got wild, crazy Google eyes.
Is it Graves disease? Is that what it is, where your eyes are all popping out of your face? Where it's like, hey, look at my eyes! You know? One of those things. I swear to God, she looks like she had, like her eyelids have been surgically removed, and then her eyes are being shoved out by small gnomes inside her head. And her face is horrific. She is the classic butterface. Like her head was squeezed and then made all long, not unlike Herman Munster. I don't know, as though like birds were pecking at her for a long period of time. This idiot guy, so she ran away, faked her own kidnapping. I don't want to get married! Ran away. They finally find her. The idiot guy takes her back like a fool. Mm-hmm. And then now though he did the classic taking her back, just so he could dump her again. Because she made him look like a tool. She ran off and left him at the altar. He takes her back and he's like, no, baby, I'll take you back. Let's get married again. And then what happens? Bam! Dumps her like the day before. That's how you do it, kids. Right there. And all you gotta do is find a girl that looks just like her, nail her, and then dump her. We'll take a break now. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. The weird thing is, as you stand here, you just start to bob back and forth
and
to it slowly.
You start to make up words in your head that go along with it.
Tim's just left the room. Tim's just walking out without a word. All right, we'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Lando ya baril last in lande yaro whatever but is that in last in lando but I can